Grace and peace to you in the name of the one whose vision for us is beloved community. Amen. So the gospel lectionary reading when I first preached here last September was about the reconciling work of naming when you've been hurt by a member of the community. It was Matthew 18. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. And now, on this last preaching Sunday as vicar, the New Testament readings are on hypocrisy. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, says Mark, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. So reprimand and insincerity, these are the lectionary bookends of my year here. Name when you've been harmed and be ready for others to point out the incongruity of your own walk of faith. In other words, welcome to the very real work of community and accountability. So thank goodness for the Song of Solomon. I love the Song of Solomon, mostly for its daring presence in the sacred canon and how so many church leaders through time have tried to render its deep physical sensuality allegorically. Of course it is talking about the love relationship between Christ and the church, so they say. Of course it is talking about the love relationship between God and Israel, so they say. Or maybe it is, in fact, a book of love letters between two people who are at the height of their adoration and attraction for one another. Desire-like community is not lived perfectly. On account of its strength, it is vulnerable to all sorts of disorders and abuses. There are all sorts of ways desire goes wrong or becomes hurtful or wreaks havoc. To be human is to have experienced this. But desire is not inherently wrong, nor bodies shameful. From the Song of Solomon, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The union at the heart of desire may be an ideal of love that we hearken back to at love's darkest and most demanding moments. Would it be better for lovers if the ideal of love were never spoken at all? To what end the whole and holy vision of union? But back to hypocrisy. One of the biggest and probably most accurate accusations against the church today is that it is full of hypocrites. I am one of them. Those of us who espouse love for neighbor are not always or often very loving. Those who espouse faithful and healthy relationships are exposed for their unfaithfulness and for their abuses of power. Those who talk about giving all one has to the poor are not always very generous. Are there Christians caring enough for those in Kabul? Are there Christians helping those in need of shelter and food in Haiti? Writes James, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. A few years ago when living on the East Coast, Jasmine, my now spouse, and I went to go see the Broadway musical Come From Away. The words from Song of Solomon that I just spoke reminded me of the title, and I think there is a connection to be made. The musical is based on the true events that happened in the hours and days following the September 11th attack on New York City. The FAA closed down the U.S. airspace, and some 4,000 planes were told to land at the nearest airport. 38 commercial planes flying into the U.S. were diverted to an airstrip in the small village of Gander in Newfoundland. The planes were carrying a total of about 6,500 passengers. The musical details how the village of Gander and the surrounding towns wrestled with the hospitality for these thousands of guests over the 5 days that they were grounded. It is a moving story of the heroic hospitality amidst the unexpected, amidst strangers and amidst cultural and language barriers. It is also a story marred by prejudice and fear, hypocrisy perhaps, as one Muslim passenger is required to be strip searched before he can board his plane when the time for departure comes. The arc of the story is what connection can come amidst tragedy and the unexpected. Toward the end of the show, they acknowledge, "Tonight we honor what we lost, but we also commemorate what we found." The horrible actions of those out to harm on that day were set alongside others' heroism, care, and hospitality, including many of the residents of Gander. We honor what was lost, but we also commemorate what was found. Humans, each of us, are capable of both beauty and horror. Community is a mirror to our best selves and our worst selves. The hospitality and connection at Gander was not perfect. Hypocrisy was present too, but so was sacrifice and setting needs aside for one's neighbor. The risk of setting and speaking an ideal, a sacred vision into the world is that we will fall short. And those who heard us speak it will often quickly note that we have fallen short. Ask any parent if this is true. Dare we not name our hopes, our goals, our ideals, or vision at all? Part of me prefers to err in that direction, speak only when my heart and actions are aligned and in the right place. If we lived our words more often than we spoke them, we would certainly be more trustworthy and certainly closer to the vision that God calls us toward. And this seems to be the truth that Jesus speaks of in Mark's gospel. Sometimes, though, as others are teaching me, silence can only mean complicity. The ultimate tragedy, said Dr. Martin Luther King, is not that the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people. We cannot let ourselves be defined by the worst our species can do to one another and to other species, by the war-hungry fighters in Afghanistan, by the neglect of those suffering from natural and human-caused environmental disasters. Speaking about the value of love of God and love of neighbor, of care for the vulnerable, including the earth, opens the church and ourselves to accusations of hypocrisy. Would it be better if we not speak the vision of beloved community read in sacred scripture at all? Should we remain silent and speak by action alone? Integrity is essential, and it seems so too is speaking aloud the vision that we are called to greater wholeness, healing, and to the difficult practices of care and love. Perhaps speaking the ideal into the world in the language of our community of faith is one of the most important roles of the church today and into the future. Otherwise, indifference and despair and the more destructive narratives may carry the day. This year, I have been graced to serve the vicarship in this community of faith. My work and learning in this position joins the handfuls of others over its 100-year history who have come through this community to learn what a call to pastoral ministry looks like, what it means, how to do the work of it. The educational year has served its purpose, though probably not in ways that I or anyone expected. In some ways, echoing the sentiment of those closing lines of Come From Away, we honor what we lost, but we also commemorate what we found. This has not been a typical internship, but I have experienced it as so full of life, connection, learning, and laughter. This is a testament to the community here at LCH and your support, your commitment to each other, and your desire to keep learning and to keep welcoming. Community is not perfect, In some ways, we have been sheltered from some of the difficult work of it by the realities of COVID-induced silos. I haven't seen many of you in person or at all, or I've only ever seen your eyes. The mystery of the bottom half of the face yet to be revealed. At the same time, I have also learned so much from you, been inspired by you, wrestled with your thoughts and your clever minds, been moved by your gifts of craft, of music, beautiful music, and art. I've listened and watched in the little snippets of living that we shared, the ways that you have modeled and wrestled with the life and action of faith, particularly during the difficult and challenging changes of the pandemic. I have seen you practice what the gospel preaches. There are some things that were lost, but so much connection, critical and challenging thought, shared laughter, and gentle moments of connection that were found. All transitions are a chance to step back, examine the place we are, and ask whether this is the direction we want to go. The ending of one more vicarship is a transition and may be a chance to examine these questions anew. Where has the Lutheran Church of Honolulu come from? Where is it going? And where is God leading this community in its future? To what vision is God calling us? Perhaps the bookends of the difficult work of beloved community and the challenge of honest faith are not bad markers for the journey ahead. To speak the vision, the ideal, the stirring of wholeness and healing, whispered love nothings into the world, in spite of the risk of failure or accusations of hypocrisy, seem vital. Silence may not be an option. And to name that it is a sacred vision, a calling that we pursue never perfectly, always risking failure, upheld by the grace that has given us the world. Perhaps this is necessary too. We may risk losing something of ourselves, but we may also find something deeper and more whole of ourselves as well. God's vision for us yet unfolds. And I'll end with a favorite poem of mine these past couple years by Denise Levertov. Beginners. But we have only begun to love the earth. We have only begun to imagine the fullness of life. How could we tire of hope? So much is in bud. How can desire fail? We have only begun to imagine justice and mercy, only begun to envision how it might be to live as siblings with beast and flower, not as oppressors. Surely our river cannot already be hastening into the sea of non-being. Surely it cannot drag in the silt all that is innocent. Not yet. Not yet. There is too much broken that must be mended, too much hurt that we have done to each other that cannot yet be forgiven. We have only begun to know the power that is in us if we would join our solitudes in the communion of struggle. So much is unfolding that must complete its gesture. So much is in bud. Amen. All right. Praise be to God. Our hymn of the day is, O God, my faithful God.